As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion," that's Jerusalem, "see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." It is my great honor to invite and welcome Sue, who's a Baptist minister, to come and share with us this morning. Sue graduated from Northern Baptist College in June. She is seeking to be a minister amongst the deaf community of the UK. And as we know as a church family, the deaf community in the UK are one of the least reached people groups in our nation, reached with the gospel. And Sue, although she didn't tell me this, I did the research. Sue was the first BSL user to preach in St. Paul's Cathedral. And so following from last April, when British Sign Language became a recognized language in the UK, Sue was the first person to share God's words in St. Paul's. And now she shares it here at Gold Hill. Do welcome her.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry I'm standing in the corner. It's because I've got some deaf people in front of me and it's easier access and they need to see me signing. So that's why I'm placed here. So sorry for the guys on the right-hand side that can't see me because of the altar. So I'd like to thank Stephen specifically. Where is he? Oh, he's just in front of me. And Hillary for inviting me to come and preach today at church. So yeah, it's been a really amazing experience. And it's now seeing the dedication and the baptism and seeing the inclusivity of the church. It's been really amazing to see. And I'm really, really pleased to be here and enjoy that with you guys. So today's topic is, what kind of king is this? This is what we'll be focusing on. What kind of king is this? Right. So as you may know, there's a specific event soon approaching. When will that be? That will be on the 6th of May, next month. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Cool. Yes, the coronation, that is right. So it will be the coronation of King Charles III. So I've been looking and researching about this specific event, this honorary event, and it's really, really going to be a turnout. It's going to be a massive event. It's going to be iconic. So there's going to be a 3-day progression for this event. And I think there'll be a lot more information about the event about a week before, so when more information is released. So what will be included on the day after I've done my research, I'll let you know. There's going to be 2 processions. There's going to be prayers in the church, and it's going to be at Westminster Abbey. And we know there's going to be top leaders of the world, states and countries going, and lots of famous people will invite it as well. So it's going to be a very big turnout. I expect, of course, there's going to be loads of clothing requirements and uniform that has to be worn at the procession. So you can't wear jeans inside, unfortunately, or trainers. Can we get the next slide? So throughout, in the church, the king is going to receive certain things. The first thing being an orb, as we can see on screen. And a scepter. Probably not this one, I just got it off Google Images. But he'll be receiving a scepter. And then he'll actually be crowned. And it will be the St. Edward's crown. And throughout the service, nearly towards the end, they'll actually swap to a different crown, and it will be the imperial crown. And then once the church service is finished, is that it? No, they keep going on. There will then be a concert, and that will be at Windsor Castle, so they'll move on to the next location. And it will be with loads of famous singers and artists and performers who will come and perform different sets of music. And there'll be a special gallery with a choir for the king. So the invitation to the church is very exclusive for the church and concert. So how does that actually work? You have to be invited only. You can't just attend. Or if you live local and you're a resident, you can actually be invited too. So can we be invited? No chance. So on the royal website, it actually states that at this event, there's going to be a pageantry, there's going to be a celebratory entrance, and also a time of worship and silence, and serious prayers as well. So it's a massive event. And a lot of planning and detail and meticulous elements have gone into the actual day. So, thinking about Jesus and his preparation, as we saw, Jesus was with the disciples, and it was really simple and small compared to this coronation. If we were to compare the two, there is no comparison. At the coronation, we've got black limos, the special cars, we've got the carriages, the horses, the people in the formal wear, the leather brass. But Jesus, he just arrived. How did he arrive? How do we remember him arriving? He had a baby donkey, that was it. He had a coat on top of the donkey so he could sit comfortably. Those are the only two things he had. So at the coronation, there will also be music, there'll be trumpet players, a band, an orchestra. Did Jesus, did he have these things? He just had a crowd that turned up. Anybody was welcome. Everybody was welcome. They were dressed however they wanted to be. Be yourself. So in terms of clothing, people put their clothes down. They found branches of palm leaves, palm leaves, and they placed them on the floor. And for 3 days, we're going to have the coronation to celebrate King Charles III. But for Jesus, he just simply had one day, was at the temple, there was an uproar, and that was it. And did they throw money at Jesus? No. He threw the money at the temple. He actually didn't agree what was going on inside the temple. So the question I have to ask is, what kind of king is this? What kind of king was Jesus? So we need to give more context to actually what we're asking, because this was a while ago, of course, in the New Testament. So what was the expectation of a king back in the day? So the Jewish believed that a king was a person who was a savior. And he was a savior from the lineage of David, the line of David. And that person would come and save the Jewish people, the Jews. However, if we look at that expectation, they thought that this person would be in the military. They would be armed and dangerous. They'd be a savior. As we know, Jesus wasn't that expectation either. Did he have power? Did he have authority? Could he persuade guards and the Romans? No. So the writer, Mark D. Harris, says, the Messiah was supposed to deliver Israel from all of the oppressors and actually lead them into a new golden age. A rabbi from Galilee, he was not what they had in mind at all. So in verse 10, if we read in further, all of the people in the city were panicked. They asked, what's happening? What's going on? Why is there a commotion? Who's he? Why is he important? But some people did have an answer, and they responded with, he's the son of David. He's the one who's called Lord. He comes in the name of the Lord. He's a prophet. And his name, was it linked with kings? No. So the Jewish people, they were waiting for a real savior in their eyes who was going to be there with military might. And recently, a lot of British people have actually been protesting. They feel as though they don't agree with King Charles being coronated. They don't want him to be king. So they've decided to have placards saying, oh, not my king, no, not for me. They prefer to actually have somebody to lead who's not in the monarchy. When I was growing up, I was reading a children's book. And this was a story specifically about a king. And with a king, they were always placed in castles. They were really wealthy. They had servants who'd serve and hand and wait on them. And they lived really great lives. And their situation was vastly different to everybody else who was common. But of course, that's when I was a little girl. And I wanted to have a king who'd come and save me, rescue me, and I'd be carried away on a horse like a princess. So this week, I asked a person that I'd met, a deaf person, I actually asked, what is your thoughts towards a king? What would you say a king is? What was your ideal of a king? And their response was, if I was to have a king in place in the UK, I'd want that king to be deaf. Or I'd want a king who knows sign language, who can communicate with BSL, British Sign Language. Which was quite a nice summary, which meant that they wanted somebody who had the awareness, the understanding, and that's someone they can relate to, that can also communicate with them. And that's a way that they can understand quite easily. So what about you, I ask? What kind of king would you want? Most people would probably say it's most important in life to have somebody who's loving, who cares, and cares for us and wants to share love too. I'm not too sure in the world everybody can say, yes, there's a king who'd love every single person in the world, know the specifics and the ins and outs of their lives. It's just not possible. But Jesus, he definitely can, and he does. So when Jesus went to Jerusalem, he arrived and it was fully inclusive. It was open to everybody. It was open to all. Anybody could come. Anybody could come and arrive, see him, meet him. It didn't matter if he was young, old, rich, poor, educated or had no education, deaf, hearing. It really didn't matter. Everybody was welcome. And he had two disciples that were with him to go get the donkey, found the donkey with the colt. And they said, okay, maybe we don't have any education, but God can use us. Jesus can use us. We'll listen to his commands. And Jesus accepted the coat on top of the donkey, even though it might have been wobbly. It wasn't a saddle. He accepted these conditions and anything that was offered. He didn't make a fuss. And he carried on. He was using local resources. He didn't have any specifics. They went to the trees and got the branches. They laid them out for him. And he accepted that. The people used their hands, their voices, they gestured, anything they could. And they wanted to welcome and show their praise and acceptance for Jesus. So he was a king who supported the people. He was there for the people. He had empathy. He understood their situations. He was aware. And he himself had grown up and learned and understood about the Roman rule, the oppression, the struggles of everyday life, what it felt to be oppressed. So, looking at Jesus again, throughout his life, from childhood to an adult, he met various types of people from all walks of life. And in his kingdom, can we say it's the same as the kingdom we expect in the castles or that we'll see of King Charles? So with Jesus' kingdom, he accepts the oppressed, people who are marginalized, and in church as well, here at Gold Hill specifically. I'm praying for people that are, we're praying for people who are unreached as well, not yet saved. So in terms of groups, for one example would be deaf people. So it's a very small community and a very small group. And yeah, we'd also face barriers and struggles as well. Hearing people, I'd say, we're the same as well. There's no better or worse. We're all equal. And Stuart Myers, you might be wondering who that is. He's a deaf minister, deaf Baptist minister in Stafford. And recently envisioned, so I asked, am I allowed to share this story? And I did get the approval, yes. Can we get the next slide, please? Thank you. So the vision that they shared was all these planets. So as we can see, there's different sizes. It gets smaller and smaller. And then we see Earth, where we are. And this is a representation of different groups of people. So where would you think deaf people are on this spectrum? We'd be right towards the end, where Earth is. The smallest group, a speck. Sometimes you can't even see us. However, we're still part of God's kingdom. We're involved. We're accepted in his world and his creations. He created us. So, with the deaf perspective, it's quite difficult. Reason being, deaf people are varied. There's not all the types of same as deafness. It's quite difficult, actually. Some people are partially deaf. Some people are profoundly deaf. Some people have a cochlear implant. Some people can sign and speak. Some people don't speak. There's so many varieties. And in terms of the community, we're really, really small. Like I said, in the spectrum, we're Earth. We're really tiny. But deaf people, so they use BSL, British Sign Language. That's their first mode of communication. And they're hungry for news, information, any form of resource. Reason being, they want access. They want to be accessible. And the priority really is for deaf people, access, especially in the churches, not just in the denominations, just in church in general. Which means there's people outside wanting to know about Jesus, and they will definitely come, happy to come. And I've seen that multiple times, even Jehovah's Witnesses as well, I've seen it. Sikh people as well, so many different denominations will come because they've seen signed services. They've seen somebody at the front who can sign. There's awareness and inclusivity. So deaf people also travel, that's another thing, from furthest reaches to the shortest reaches. So if a church has access, they'll be there. So it means that, will this happen every week? No, because sometimes they do live too far, so they can't come to every single service. But they will definitely attend when they can. And the deaf community is very tight-knit, and they enjoy to worship together with one another. And at the center is Jesus, of course. But through everything, it's also through British Sign Language, communicating with people that understand, they have the awareness, they know how to relate to you. It's inclusive, it's equal, everybody's the same, and it's a safe environment, and everybody's welcome. You're all accepted. So back to what kind of king was Jesus? Don't worry, I'm not wandering off. There's a plan. He's the king of all the kingdoms, and he's aware of all of the different spectrums and groups. And his kingdom is different to what we expect. It's a spiritual kingdom. Jesus himself, do we think of him like a king with a scepter and an orb and a fancy cloak? No. He was a very humble king. He regularly sought to serve and help other people. He wasn't interested in wars, taking over people, being in power, or having authority. So there's a book called by Clark, and he comments on this, saying, it was indeed a triumph. So, it was a triumph over humility and pride and worldly grandeur. Of poverty over affluence and of meekness and gentleness over rage and malice. So here at the church, we should represent these things too, as it's Jesus' kingdom here on earth. And it's fully inclusive. Everybody's fully welcome. And there's also people that we haven't reached yet. And we can give them a voice, an opportunity to be involved, be in a family. So what kind of king is this, I ask? He's a savior. He definitely is a savior. But the Jewish people didn't understand at the time. But what he came to the world to save us, every single one of us, each and every one. The people shouted, Hosanna. And that means savior, save us. People usually recognized that they needed saving, so they screamed Hosanna to get God's attention, Jesus' attention. And that is the kind of king we could see. Somebody that was prepared to die for us, died for us. And he died on the cross. Again, we can link that to a king dying for us. Do we think that would happen? That's a big question mark. However, this king, Jesus, he did. So Jesus went to Jerusalem, as I mentioned, and he invited and let anybody come to see him, meet him. All were welcome, and all came. Did every single person in the land come? No, of course not. But a lot of people did. Some people chose actually not to go. They said, oh, that's not for me. I'm not going. So Jesus, he welcomed and took the offering of each and every one of the persons there that offered him. Palm Beach. So it wasn't like, oh, there were rules stating only the priests and the Levites could come over and give it to him, or the official people, or only one person could come into the temple. There was no access at the time for different people and different groups, unfortunately. So it makes me think, what kind of church is this? What do we offer to people today? It's like Jesus as well. He allowed access. He was inclusive. He let all types of groups of people and walks of life come to see him, meet him. He was welcoming. And that's a question I'd like us to think about and reflect on this week, throughout the Holy Week. I want us to think about what kind of king was Jesus? What was he like? How can we think about Jesus in terms of his love, his attitude? How can we emulate that? How can we take that on board? How can we share and give that to the community that we serve and are involved in? Especially the forgotten people as well, the people that are sometimes marginalized. It doesn't matter if it's a lot of people you reach out to or even one person. So the last thing I'd like to leave with you guys is, I all encourage you to welcome Jesus into your lives as your king, into your personal lives, just as you are. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to dress a special way. There's no dress code. There's no qualifications needed. The invitation's free. It's at no cost. And it's open to all. You're all welcome to it. And it's not just here in church. It's also when we leave and we go home. And you all may think, okay, there's an offer. I might accept it. But just accept Jesus wholeheartedly. Shout it out. Proclaim it. Scream Hosanna. Say Savior. Amen. Thank you.